Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus the Christ, our Master and our Savior, our Elohim and our Redeemer, the lover of our soul and the rock of our faith. I want to say happy Sabbath to everyone and welcome to Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry. I am Brother Miles. On this morning, we are going to be talking about how Messiah fulfills the feast days. The feast days are coming up for this year, and there are, you know, new listeners and new believers. Those who are coming into the understanding of that they should be keeping the feast days of the Most High. And part of the ministry, you know, we should explain to them what those feast days are and what they represent in the Old Testament and in the New. And so we want to go over that today on this morning. We want to greet everybody in Pal Talk, on Blog Talk, on the internet in general, wherever you may be listening from, whether you're in South America, North America, whether you're on the African continent, the Middle East, the Far East, the European theater, we greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved. We want to send out a special greetings to our new listeners that are in Portugal. We pray that you receive the word of the Most High and that you worship him in spirit and in truth. So we welcome you to the listening audience and to the family. We want to go ahead and start with our statement of faith this morning. And actually, I need to pull that up. Been busy this morning. I sent out an email this morning with the names of the true sons of the Most High, starting with Adam to Noah. And there's a message in their names that I'm sure at one time or another you have heard, but, you know, just so that we get into the habit and understand that the scriptures are filled with messages this way. And when we study, it's important that we study the names as well as, you know, the scriptures for content, because a lot of the message or messages that the scripture has for us is in the names of the individuals in the scriptures. The Most High does it that way. And I went through and I was starting to make a list of, you know, not just from Adam to Noah, but then the lineage of Messiah. I wanted to do a study on the names of all the, you know, supposedly holy men, the ones that the Most High considered righteous, and see what message is contained in those names. You know, I can give you an example of like Nadab and Abihu. Nadab meaning liberal and Abihu meaning worship, liberal worship. And then when we look at what happened to them, the Most High, he actually burnt up liberal worship. You know, when they burnt strange fire, when they offered strange fire to him by offering incense at a time when he had not called for it. He said it was strange. That's out of order. And so we know by the Most High's, by the way that he responds to things, that he is an Elohim of structure. And he wants things exactly the way that he wants them. He doesn't want us to give him what we feel like we want to give him. He doesn't give us the option to worship him as we want to. And that's one of the things that I don't think that many people understand. So, you know, in the scriptures, when he burnt up liberal worship in Nadab and Abihu, he said, I shall be sanctified, you know, before the people, and you shall sanctify me. You will have a special place for me. You will treat me as something or someone special, and you will give me what I want, exactly what I want and how I want it, and you don't do it any other way. And so in the names, when you're doing a study of the scriptures, you know, you can't just read the names and then let it go, because you will miss important messages and concepts in the scriptures that the Most High is teaching his people. That's why, you know, it Hebrew names have a meaning, you know, and you know, they're the meanings that are assigned by the Most High. And so when we look at the English, if we come at it from the English or another language, then we can miss those things. But on today, we're going to, you know, I sent that out so that, you know, sent out the names and the messages that are in the names from Adam to Noah, so that we can understand that names in the scriptures are important, just like his feast days are important. He, you know, they tell us the moves of the Most High, and, you know, he gave them to us to celebrate ahead of time when he created the nation, before any of the actual purpose of the feast day. The Most High knew what he was going to do. But then his people didn't know exactly what he was going to do. Okay? But as we have hindsight is supposed to be 20/20. And so we should be able to see the moves of the Most High in his feast days and why we keep them. You know, why we don't keep Christmas or Easter or Valentine's Day or any of the other pagan holidays, and especially pagan religious days. We don't keep them because, number one, they're tied to another deity, another God, and we know we're only supposed to worship the Most High, period. We're not even supposed to really mention the names of other gods or other Elohims. But these are the days that the Most High has said that he wants us to celebrate. And I didn't include the new moon in this one because these are the major ones that, quote unquote, the world accepts, the world of, let's say, Hebrews, Jewish people, that they accept. And they don't include the new moon in there, but I have included the new moon, okay? And I haven't included it in this lesson, okay? But we want to go over those because it's coming up that time of year where Passover will start next month, will be next month. And so, you know, we want to know why do we keep those? It's very important to the true believers, and I want to say it that way, the true believers, because it's critical that we understand that the promises are to the true believers, those that will hear his voice and keep his commandments. The lesson that we did last night, that we blaspheme not the word of the Most High. To blaspheme his word is to disobey him, is to not do what he says to do. That's it. That's the bottom line of that lesson. He tells us, you know, if you are an elderly man, the aged, then you should be teaching the youngers to be this way. If you're an elderly woman, then you should be teaching the younger women to be this way. Okay, and how to, you know, to obey the commandments of the Most High and how to carry ourselves. And so he says that the word of Elohim be not blasphemed, his word. And so when we are disobedient to his word, we blaspheme his word. And he says, we say we know him, but indeed, we our deeds don't show that we know him. We don't keep his commandments. We disobey him. So disobedience is to blaspheme his word. So just like that, that is, you know, what is required of the believers, just the true believers, the ones that he says, I love those that love me. And so how do we show that we love him? He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And if we don't keep his commandments, then he says, you don't love me. You hate me. Now, that's his definition. Those are his standards. And so we have to abide by his definitions and his standards. He gave the feast days because he knew everything that he was going to do that he wanted to be celebrated. This is what I want you to observe in relationship to me. So this is what we're going to be talking about here on this morning. And I pray that, you know, you have pencil and paper if you have not already done this study before. And that if you don't understand, you know, why we keep these feast days from the weekly Sabbath to, you know, Passover and Feast of the First Fruits, Pentecost. You know, the world is keeping some of those, and then some of those they have renamed to something else, but it's tied to a pagan deity. And so it's very important that we understand that. Because you're not supposed to worship. You should bow down to no other god under no circumstances, even when they tie it to me. So when we are celebrating something, we have to know why he wants it celebrated, and that's why we celebrate it. Can't care about what the world says. So let us go ahead and do our statement of faith on this morning. And let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east, toward the rising of the sun, toward the east, toward Jerusalem, as Solomon has said in his prayers, that he prayed for Israel and for when we were scattered, that, you know, whether we were scattered or whether we were in the land, that we returned toward the place where the Most High put his name when we did our prayers. And so he says, even when you are scattered in your captivity, turn toward the house that I have built. And he asked the Most High, you know, long ago, that if we did that, that the Most High would hear our prayers. Even the stranger, he says, that hear of your greatness, if they will pray to you, hear their prayers. Okay, so we honor that prayer of Solomon. So ladies, cover your heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east. Holy hands raised to the Most High. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim, our God, our Redeemer, our Savior, the lover of our souls and the rock of our faith. Let us give him a handcuff of praise on this morning, because truly, he could have just started over. He didn't have to save us. He could have blinded us. He could not have unctioned us to come to him. So hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to you, O Father Elohim. Glory to you, O Yah. We give glory and honor and praise to you this morning. We thank you, Father, for keeping us safe through the night. We thank you for allowing us to be your children and you to be our Elohim. We thank you for taking the blinders off of our eyes and allowing us to hear your wonderful gospel of the kingdom, Father, and your salvation. We thank you for each of your feast days, Father, that show us your moves and tell us what you're going to do. Now, in the past and in the future, hallelujah, Father. We just thank you and glorify you on this morning. We thank you for all that you have done for us and all that you're going to do. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to you, O Father. Glory, glory, glory to you. Hallelujah. You are Elohim, and there is no other. Hallelujah. We just want to thank you, Father, for allowing us to have this knowledge and be of a mind that we will worship you and only you. Hallelujah to you, Yah Elohim. Holy hands raised to the Most High. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again to come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you forgive our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our sins and repent of our wicked ways, and not complain about the punishment that you have put upon us, by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that you have walked contrary to us. And, Father, we are repenting of our sins and we're turning from our wicked ways. And, Father, we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. Father, hear our supplications and our prayers. Our testimony will be, this is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you will call in Messiah, that they would hear your voice, come and obey, and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom on this morning, we ask that you will smile upon this work and that you will give us favor in all that we do. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, I pray. Amen and amen. And let us get our Bibles. And let's go to 1 Kings chapter 8 as we read the scriptures dedicated to the Shabbat. This is to bring us into remembrance, that we keep it always before us. 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 46. And I'm going to personalize this on this morning. So understand that what you're reading, I am going to personalize it for Israel, for us as people. Okay, whether we are Jew or Gentile, we are joining ourselves to Israel. This is what the scripture teaches us. The body of Messiah, his kingdom is Israel, and it's going to be a global kingdom. So nobody should feel strange with this. If we sin against thee, verse 46, if we sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with us, and deliver us to the enemy, so that they carry us away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if we shall bethink ourselves in the land whither we were carried captives, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried us captives, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all our heart and with all our soul, in the land of our enemies, which led us away captive, and pray unto thee toward our land, which thou gavest unto our fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which Solomon built for thy name. Then hear thou our prayer and our supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain our cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all our transgressions wherein we have transgressed against thee. And give us compassion before them who carried us captive, that they may have compassion on us. For we be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them, or to hearken unto us in all that we call for unto thee. For thou didst separate us from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The book of Exodus, chapter 19. The book of Exodus, chapter 19. And let's get verses 5 and 6. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. The book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 10. the book of Deuteronomy chapter 10, and we're going to get verses 12 and 13. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee? But to fear Yah thy Elohim, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of Yah and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day, to go after other Elohims, which you have not known. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. Let me play this song. And as you go through your day, again, I want to bring us into the remembrance that when we were in the world and we were going out and we were partying and we were, you know, doing our own thing, we're doing as the world does. We gave all to partying. We would party until we passed out, when we were younger. But this young man wrote this song, and it really, when I first heard it, it really encouraged me, because it's the way I feel in my spirit a lot of the times. You know, praise the Most High, worship Him like you used to party when you were getting high or drunk and passing out. So we want to bring that before us this morning, that we have this mindset in our worship and in our praise toward the Most High.
I truly understand what people may say. They believe to think how we think is far from okay. But I believe it's never okay to abandon your dreams. And it just so happens that our dream is to lift up a holy king. See, this is my life, my choice, and I choose to lift up my hands. And please don't be alarmed if when the music comes on, I begin to dance. And run across the room until I can barely catch my breath. And fall on the floor because I gave it all. Nothing left. See, I'm gonna worship until I pass out. See, I came to worship until I pass out. So we go hard in the paint, hard in the paint. We go hard in the paint. We worship hard in the paint, hard in the paint. We go hard in the paint. But you don't know what I've been through, and I'm still going through some of it. So dancing is something that I gotta do. See, Jesus was the only one that saved my soul. He took a chance on this broken-hearted man, grabbed my hand, and he made me whole. Yeah. See, Jesus was the only one who saved my soul. Yeah. And Jesus was the only one that made me
To the book of Exodus, the book of Exodus chapter 20, the book of Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to start in verse 1, and we're going to be reading verses 1 through 6, the book of Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 6, and Elohim spake all these words, saying, I am Yah thy Elohim, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other Elohims before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath and that is in the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, Yah thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. The book of Proverbs, chapter 8. That's where we're going to go next. The book of Proverbs, chapter 8. In the verses we just read, the Most High says, we are not to bow ourselves to any other Elohim. We're not to have images, even of him, have images of him. We should not, you know, that's why he showed himself, when he showed himself to Israel, he showed himself in thick darkness. He didn't want us going around trying to make, you know, something that we would bow down to that wasn't him, that wasn't going to answer our prayers. So he says, don't make any image of anything in the heavens or under the sea or in the sea or under the earth, and bow ourselves to him, to it. But we are only to bow to him. And he says that he shows mercy unto them that love him and keep his commandments. He doesn't show mercy to everyone. He's not the God of everyone. Well, he is, but how do I say this to make it right? He does not honor those that are not his, that don't love him and keep his commandments. Let me put it that way. He's the only true Elohim that there is. He's the only true God, the only true Elohim. He's the only Almighty that there is. And he says, I love them that keep my commandments. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. Because we want to always keep these things before us. This should help us to have the right mindset for him and to obey his voice. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. I love them, and this is Yah talking, I love them that love me. This is who the Most High loves. He don't love everybody. These are, it's misinformation by the world and by the church. It allows people to stay doing what they do. Because it doesn't matter. The Most High loves me. I'm his child. No, you're not. If you don't obey his voice, if you are disobedient, if you blaspheme his word, you dishonor him, you bow down to another God, then he says you hate him. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. The book of John. Chapter 14, because he says he is Elohim and there is no other. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Did he change in the New Testament? Because this is what, you know, people will have you to believe, that this New Testament, there's a new God, and he's not the same God of the Old Testament. He is the same God of the Old Testament, and his message did not change. And so we as his people, whether we are calling ourselves Hebrew Israelites or whether we're calling ourselves Christians, if we're calling ourselves believers, whatever it is that we're calling ourselves, if we say we follow him, then it's very simple. It ain't complicated. If you love me, keep my commandments. The difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament is very little. Messiah died and became the what? Sin sacrifice. The animal sacrifices were done away with. Every crime, I'm going to say crime. When I say crime, you can just say equals sin. Transgression of the law. When we transgress the law, when we disobey his law, when we break his law, we sin. It's a crime. We have broken the law. We call it a crime in today's time. But you can say crime and sin are one and the same. So when we break his laws and we transgress against him, then we got problems. Okay? This even comes down to keeping his feast days. Because it's a commandment that they are kept. And it wasn't just to Israel. If it's just to Israel, then the Most High is only going to save Israel. And we know that's not true. We know that's not true. Salvation is unto mankind. But mankind is going to have to live by the statutes, the laws, and the commandments of the Most High. Mankind for 6,000 years has tried to run the world and his own self the way he wants to run himself. Come up with his own standards of governance. This is how we should govern ourselves. We'll make our own laws. We'll make our own holidays. And the Most High calls it Babylon. He calls it confusion. If you think you can guide yourself and rule yourself better than I can rule you, you are confused. And that's what that statue in Daniel represents, confusion, man trying to govern himself until Messiah comes and knocks it all down. And there shall be one government and one Elohim in that day, and his name one. And the whole world will worship only that one. And so we got to understand that he has called this confusion when man thinks that he can govern himself separate and apart from the standards, the rules, the commandments of the Most High. Okay. So on this morning with this precept, the feast days of Messiah and how did he fulfill them, let us start off in the book of Amos. Amos chapter 3. The book of Amos chapter 3. And we're going to be getting verse 7. Amos chapter 3 and verse 7. Surely Yah Elohim will do nothing, but he reveals his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. The Most High said to Israel and to his prophets, everything that I'm going to do in this world, you as my people, I'm going to reveal it to. And I'm setting up my government, the kingdom of heaven on the earth. And as I was with you in the beginning, with Adam and Eve, walking in the garden, in the end, I'm going to be back with you again, walking among you. But we're going to have to go through some things. You're going to, as mankind, are going to have to learn some lessons. But I'm going to reveal this thing to my prophets. His feast days tell of his moves. All of his feast days that are in Leviticus 23. Okay, and then, so let's go to Leviticus chapter 23 on this morning. Leviticus chapter 23. Excuse me. Give me a hot second here. And let's start in verse 1. Now, we got to understand something. Let me sort of set this up in this way. The Most High has always planned for this world, this entire world, to be his kingdom, and all the peoples of the world to be his citizens. Okay? But his kingdom has a headquarters. That headquarters is in Jerusalem. Jerusalem and his holy nation, Israel, where his priesthood, because the Most High is a priest, and Messiah came and was born a king and a priest. So this is a kingdom of priests. Okay, we've got to understand this. And if we're going to belong to the Most High, if we're going to be part of his kingdom, and if we're going to join ourselves to Messiah, So we got to understand that there's a certain standard that he wants from us, that we are joining ourselves to his priesthood, and he has a standard for that. Okay. So he gave this priesthood to the world to teach the world what he was going to do, what his standards are. These are the statutes, the laws, and the commandments, and the judgments of the Most High. These are the holidays or the Sabbaths, the feast days that my people, not just Israel, all those who are in Mashiach, if you say you belong to Christ, if you say you belong to Jesus, if you say you belong to Yeshua, these are also your feast days because they are part of his kingdom, not part of the world. And so when we come to him, we have to let go of all those things that are in the world because we say we are defecting from the world. We're defecting from the world into his kingdom. I don't want to be a citizen of the world. I don't want to be a citizen of the United States anymore. I want to have dual citizenship. But my primary country is the kingdom of heaven, with its headquarters here on the earth as Israel and Jerusalem. Now, we will live throughout the whole world. But we are supposed to be bringing the truth, and this is what Israel's job was, to bring the truth of Elohim, his statutes, his laws, his commandments, and his ordinances to the world. In the end, this is what it's going to be. And so if we can understand that, then we understand that we don't go outside of, we don't do anything that's offensive to our king. And he's our king. He's our redeemer. He's our savior. He's our what? Everything. It's just first to Israel. And then to all those that believe on Messiah. Got to live by his standards. Got to live by his commandments. Can't say that we're a member of his body and don't live by his statutes, his laws, and his commandments. So we got to understand that these feast days are for Jew and Gentile alike. So when we come into his kingdom, he says, hey, when you come into my kingdom, you can't have another god. So if you're doing worship in any other god, when you came to me, you're supposed to put them down. You don't bow down to them anymore because you realize that, hey, they were false. They weren't making me the promises that the Most High Elohim is making me. And so we want to celebrate everything that he has done and what he has for us. So let us start in Leviticus 23, starting in verse 1. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feast of Yah, not the feast of Israel, not the feast of the Jew, not the feast of the Hebrew Israelite. We get them from him. And if he's the God of the entire world, then the whole world should be in observance of this. But the whole world didn't know about it. So let me start with my priesthood, Israel, and let me teach them. Their job was to give it to the rest of the world. Concerning the feast of Yah, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocation, even these are my feasts. These aren't made up by man. These weren't made up by Moses. These weren't arbitrarily Moses like, oh, we need to celebrate this day. Yah spake unto Moses, these are my feast days. These are my holidays. These are my Sabbaths. Holiday and Sabbath is one and the same. And this is what you should keep. 6 days shall work be done. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation, a holy meeting. You shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of Yah in all your dwellings. So we're starting with Israel. But then this was to be taught to the rest of the world. As the rest of the world learned about the Most High in salvation and in Mashiach, they come into the God of the Bible in Mashiach. He's not going to change his statutes, his laws, and his commandments for the world. That the world is itself trying to govern itself out of order, in confusion. So he's not changing all of that for the world. He's not going to get rid of his statutes, his laws, and his commandments and his judgments for the world. And we got to understand that. The world has to get in line with the Most High. The Most High is not going to get in line with the world. These are my holidays. These are my Sabbaths. These are the things that I want you to observe and to keep. Starting with my weekly Sabbath. 6 days you shall work. The seventh is holy. It's his day. So mankind really doesn't have an option in this. And mankind surely don't have any authority to change it. Verse 4. These are the feasts of Yah, even holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their seasons, in their times, in the 14th day of the first month, at evening, is Yah's Passover. Now, we're going to talk about each one of these because they represent different moves that he's going to make. It starts with Israel, a type and a shadow. But the Passover represents Messiah. The Hebrew word for feast, Moadim, M-O-A-D-I-M, Moadim, literally means appointed times, or we translate it as seasons. Elohim has carefully planned and orchestrated the timing and the sequence of each of these seven feasts that we're about to read about to reveal to us a special story. I sent out this morning, for those of you who received the email, the names from Adam to Noah and what those names mean. And those names give us a story. It gives us actually the story of creation and salvation and the overview of what the Most High was going to do in the names. So in his feast days, he's telling us a special story also, his moves. Want to be in tune with what the Most High is doing? Want to know when you should be concerned about what the world is doing? He prophesies about it through his word and through his feast days. And we don't know the exact year of certain things. But he says, you shall know the Moedim, the times, the season. This is what Messiah told us, that we should know the season of this move. And what is going to happen, he says, now, this is the day that event's going to happen. You don't know what year it's going to happen. I didn't give you that. But you're going to celebrate and practice it until it happens. Then you're going to know that it's been fulfilled and why you're doing it. Okay? The seven annual feasts of Israel were spread over 7 months of the Hebrew calendar, a set time appointed by Elohim. These are his feast days. These are times appointed by him. We got feast days that our forefathers tried to make up on their own that he didn't tell them to do. But they did it anyway because they wanted to celebrate him and what he did for them. But the days that we are talking about, minus the new moon, and the Most High gave the commandment for the new moon celebration as well. But, you know, the feast of the dedicating of the altar, or the rededication of the altar. He didn't ever give that as a feast day. And Orthodox Jews keep it today, but it's not a commandment to keep it. The Most High never commanded. Okay. They are still celebrated and observed today. We're supposed to be, you know, if you are quote-unquote a Jew or you're quote-unquote a Hebrew Israelite and believe that you are the children of the book, then you're supposed to be keeping this. But the church has, you know, interpreted the scriptures that they are not to keep these, that they're not to be observant to these, not understanding what they read. They have misinterpreted the scriptures. And the scriptures, just like there's a test in the Old Testament, the Most High says, I'm going to leave some people in the land. I'm not going to kill everybody in the land that I'm giving you to take over, because I've told you to go in and do that. But if you leave any of them, and I'm going to leave some of them, I want to see if you're going to follow after their gods. I'm going to see if you're going to do what they do. Because what the Most High is asking us to do goes against human nature. You have to want to do this. Because our nature, and he tells us from the very beginning, our thoughts were evil continually. That's why he destroyed the first creation in the flood, all but eight souls. He says, because the thoughts of man were evil continually. That is man's nature. And we might think that we're good. We might think that the good we do and some righteousness that we perform makes us good people. But the truth of the matter is, we do more evil than good when it comes to the Most High. And when we walk not in his ways and we don't keep his commandments, there's nothing that we can say is good about us. Nothing. Okay? So we got to understand this. So these feast days, they show us everything that he wanted to have celebrated. Even from the time that he gave them until they're fulfilling when he comes. Okay? So if you have placed your faith in Mashiach, then you're supposed to be keeping these as well. If you believe in, quote unquote, in the English, Jesus Christ as the Messiah, you're supposed to be keeping these days as well. It's telling you when he's going to return. It's telling you the season. It's telling you every move that the Most High is going to make. These are my victories that I want celebrated. He didn't say even the creation of the earth and the universe. He says, when you keep the Sabbath, you honor my creation. You honor what I did in creation. So these are the things that I want you to celebrate. That's what the weekly Sabbath is all about. For in 6 days, Yah Elohim created the heavens and the earth and all that there is in. And on the seventh day he rested. So we honor every Sabbath, that he's the creator of everything. Okay? And when we don't keep it, he says, we dishonor him. So when we do what we want to do, when we do what man has taught us, we dishonor him. Okay? These special days, these feast days, demonstrate the work of redemption through Yeshua. The work that the Most High was going to do through Mashiach, through the Messiah. That he says, you will know him as the son of Elohim. These are the works. These are the celebrations. These are the victories that I want you to celebrate. You know, we're celebrating the 4th of July, the victory of the United States rebellion against the British Empire. And declaring their independence. And we shoot off fireworks. Throw meat on the grill. Have a barbecue and drink. But the feast days of the Most High we don't keep. Okay, so he doesn't want us keeping the worldly feast days. And, because truthfully, and I'll tell you the truth, and I've looked at all of them that I used to celebrate, being in the military and, growing up as a child, all of those pagan holidays are tied to some deity that is not the Most High, and they have included the Most High in it. But they originally had nothing to do with him. And so even the 4th of July, when we think it's just the independence of this country, but the very symbol for liberty and justice and independence in this country is the Statue of Liberty, whose real name is Columbia. The goddess Columbia. And when we celebrate anything that includes the goddess Columbia, we are celebrating the goddess Columbia and not even knowing it. And we are in violation of, you shall not have any image of another god. And you shall not show adoration to them, shall not bow down to them. So we got to understand every one of the holidays, if you don't keep these feast days commanded by the Most High, you need to look into those holidays and see what is the root of them. Are you worshiping another god and don't know it? Okay. The first four of the seven feast days that we're going to read about occurred during the springtime. Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, and the Feast of Weeks. And they all have already been fulfilled in HaMashiach, in the New Testament. The spring feast, the final three holidays, trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and tabernacles, occurred during the fall, all within a short 15-day period. And these represent things that the Most High is going to do that we don't believe have happened yet, but they tell us what he's going to do. So let's continue reading. Verse 5. Leviticus 23 and verse 5, in the 14th day of the first month at evening is Yah's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Unto Yah 7 days, you must eat unleavened bread. Now, let me explain something here, because you would have to go into Deuteronomy, which we're not going to go in today, to understand that the Passover is the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. When we read it right here, we will think that Passover is the 14th, and then on the 15th day of the month for another 7 days, that we're to keep the Feast of Unleavened. But that is straightened out in Deuteronomy, or in Numbers. I have to get the right place where it is corrected, and it is maintained in the New Testament that Passover is the first day of the Feast of Unleavened. And we know if you keep Passover, you know that you can't keep Passover with leaven. So Passover is the first day of Unleavened, the Feast of Unleavened. Okay. And then for the next 7 days, you're not to have any leavening in your house. Leavening in this sense represents sin. And so you're supposed to be putting away sin. Okay? In the first day, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. Not supposed to be doing any work on Passover. But you shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yah 7 days. And the seventh day is a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. So the first day of the Feast of Unleavened is a holy convocation, and the seventh day is a holy convocation. It's holy. You shall do no servile work therein, just like you're to do no servile work for the Sabbath. You can go out and do good works. You can't do, you know, what you do for a living. Can't go out and cut the grass. You can't, you know, go paint the house. Go wash your car. Go to the beauty parlor. Can't do any of that stuff on Shabbat. Can't do any of that stuff on his holy days. The Passover points to Messiah as our Passover lamb. So keep your finger there in your Bible, and let's go to 1 Corinthians, the book of 1 Corinthians. And we're going to be getting verse, chapter 5 and verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. Purge out, therefore, that old leavening, the feast of unleavened, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened, as you, if we read the scriptures above, it's talking about sin. And it says a little bit of sin leavens the whole lump. It has a reaction on your whole body, on the whole body, on you, the individual, and on the rest of the body of Messiah. When we sin, we cause a reaction, whether we know it or not. And it's a negative reaction. So he says a little leavening leavens the whole lump. That's in verse 6. Purge out, therefore, that old leavening, because leavening is a reactive agent. Yeast causes dough to rise. If you don't put any yeast in it, the bread will cook up flat, like flat bread. But you put add leavening to it, you add yeast to it, which is a leavening agent, something that causes a reaction, and it causes that dough to rise, and it affects the whole lump that you put it in. It don't just leaven a little bit of it. It leavens the whole lump. As you are unleavened, for even Christ or Mashiach, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. So the Passover, the feast of the Passover, where the Most High came down and told Israel, I'm going to deliver you out of the land of Egypt, out of your bondage. And you will, as a nation, you will go and you will, each of you will get a lamb and you will kill it together at evening, and you will put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, on the lintel, on the top of the door and on the sides. And the destroyer, when he comes, when he sees the blood, he will pass over your house. He's not going to come into your house. He's going to pass over it and go to whatever house didn't obey the commandment. This is what the Passover stands for. Now, in today's terms, when we come to Mashiach and he becoming the Passover lamb of the Most High, then when the Most High says, when you come up under the blood of Messiah, he will pass over you in judgment. I see the blood of Messiah there. And I'm going to pass over judgment. I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to kill you. That's if and only if we obey. So we come to Mashiach and then we say he died for our sins. We come up under his blood. We are baptized into his name. And the Most High says, okay, I see you as a new creature now. Now go and sin no more. I will pass over you. But if you turn around and go back into your sin, if you turn around and go back into your mess, knowingly, willfully, and you just place yourself back up under the bondage of sin. You just place yourself back up under judgment. And that's why we got to understand these feast days. If Messiah is the Passover for us. Let's go to Mark chapter 14. So we just read that Messiah, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Let's go to Mark chapter 14. The book of Mark chapter 14. We're going to get verse 12. And on the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, this is when Messiah was also killed. His disciples said unto him, where wilt thou that we go and prepare thou that thou mayest eat the Passover? And he sends them to, you know, to into the city. Later on, and this is not the actual day, this is the preparation day here, because they're going to prepare for the Passover. He's killed. He's taken that night, which is the start of the 14th of Nisan, the start of the Passover. But it's not celebrated until the evening time. So when we study this, in the evening, the day before, in the preparation, at the start of the 14th day of the month, they didn't celebrate the Passover then. They celebrated it at the end of that day, the start of the 15th day, on the 14th into the 15th day. So Messiah and his disciples are hanging together. That night, they come and arrest him. It's the Passover. It's the 14th of the month. But the people haven't celebrated yet. They won't celebrate it until the evening of the 14th, which is going into the 15th. So they crucify him on the 14th. And then before the sun goes down, Israel is going to observe the Passover meal. And they have to take him down from the cross. And he has to be in the grave so that they can celebrate the Passover. We want to keep that meal. Okay? So he was crucified on this day. Messiah was the lamb, what, without blemish, because the Passover required a lamb without blemish of the first year. Messiah was without sin or defect. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. The book of 1 Peter chapter 1. And let's get verse 19. First Peter chapter 1, verse 19. But with the precious blood of Yeshua HaMashiach, the Christ, of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Let's get verses 18 through 20. Let's just do it that way. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by the traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, or Mashiach, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. We have a colon there, so we have to read verse 20 as well, as you have to read through 21. Who verily was foreordained before the foundations of the world. This was not an afterthought by the Most High. This was before he even created the world. I'm going to have to do this. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times to you, who by him do believe in Elohim, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in Elohim. This is what the Most High is doing. I need to save my creation. I need to make a way for me not to have to judge them. That all that believe in Mashiach, and who keep my commandments. Because Mashiach himself said, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 14 and 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Speaking directly for and as the Most High. As he said in Torah, I love them that love me, and I have mercy on them that love me and keep my commandments. Nothing changed. So we are told here, by his precious blood, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. This was the requirement for the Passover lamb. Israel had to go. They had 4 days on the 10th of the month. Go to Bethlehem. Find you a lamb of the first year. Make sure that it is what? Doesn't have any blemish and it doesn't have any flaws. Can't sacrifice a blind lamb or a crippled lamb to the Most High. So make sure you get a good one. And bring it back for the Passover on the 14th. Messiah enters into Jerusalem on the 10th of the month. The Most High bringing his Passover lamb to be sacrificed, to be offered up. And Messiah was offered up on the 14th day, just as the Passover lamb is offered up. He was out without blemish and without spot. Hebrews chapter 4. The book of Hebrews chapter 4. And let's get verse 15. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. At all points Messiah was tempted, yet did he sin not, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So he was without sin, and he was tempted at all points. He's telling us, you're going to be tempted at all points. But you have to sin not. So once I give you, once I clean your record up, once I expunge your record and wipe out all your sins, then the only thing I want to hear you doing wrong is something you didn't know was wrong. Ignorantly. You sin. You didn't know. That's the only thing I want to hear about. That's the only thing I want you coming in confessing to me. Well, the Most High, somebody told me this. Is it true? Oh, yeah, you got to keep the weekly Sabbath. Oh, yeah, you can't just eat all that food that you've been eating. You want to be close to me? Then I require that you eat this way. If you want to stay in the world, there's nothing unclean in and of itself. It's only unclean when you want to deal with me. You want to be close? You want to be my people? You want to come close to me? Then these are my dietary laws. Now you know you weren't keeping them before out of ignorance. Now you know. Now you need to keep them. You can confess. I didn't know. But now you do. So now you start keeping them. He says you can confess that and he is sure and just to forgive you. But that which you know is wrong, and you do, he says, there is no blood for that. I forgave you everything from the time you were born to the day you came to me. I forgave all your sin, whether it was willful or ignorant, because you didn't know me. You didn't come up under me yet. Now you have accepted me as your Savior and your Redeemer. You have been baptized into me. You've become a member of my body, and then you're going to go willfully sin? There is no blood for that. I have never allowed that. Never allowed it. Not in Torah, not in New Testament. I've never allowed that. So I was your Passover. And while the destroyer was coming along, let me put this in perspective for you. Go back to that night in Egypt. If you were the firstborn and you were caught outside, you were from undercover. You were in sin. You were in violation. You were in transgression. The destroyer would have killed you because you were in transgression. You're supposed to be inside up under the blood. When we sin willfully today, we bring ourselves from under the blood. I hope we can hear this and understand. We bring ourselves from under the blood. He says there is no blood for that. There is no sacrifice for that. It is a lie told to you by the world. And so I'm not going to pass over you. You need to come and you need to be truly repentant before me and turn from your wicked ways. And I might have mercy on you. There's no guarantee for that. Because the most I can tell you, no. I'm not going to have mercy on you. I'm going to judge you. And my judgment is death. That's the penalty for it. So we got to understand that we don't just willfully sin today, or else we bring ourselves from under Mashiach Christ, our Passover. But we observe the Passover, and we observe what Messiah did, what the Most High did, and his offering for us. And we have to appreciate that. We have to honor it. He don't just say, oh, if you can come up under the Passover, Mashiach, your Passover, Christ, your Passover, and then willfully go back into sin. It doesn't work for him. It's a lie. He did not die for all your sins forever, past, present, and future. Once you know who you are, that you were a sinner and you came to him, all your sins from that point and past, he died for. He says, now, anything you do ignorantly because you didn't know, confess it, and I will forgive you for it. And you can stay up under the Passover. You can stay up under the blood. But anything that you did willfully, he says, there's no blood for that. I'm not going back up on that cross. And the blood that I shed on the cross don't cover what you just did. So we should all be very afraid because we were taught an error. We were taught to transgress the Passover, to transgress Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, our Passover. You went up on that cross and you died for my sins, and then I'm going to willfully go back into sin. I'm going to willfully violate the Passover. I'm going to willfully defile my Passover lamb, Messiah. And if we find ourselves in that situation, as I said, I myself am in that situation. This is what I was taught. It goes against the scriptures. So you get on your face, before the Most High, and you ask for forgiveness. Ask him to bring you back up under the Passover. Most High, I ran outside while the destroyer was coming. And I saw it entering into the house next door. And I ran back in. Perhaps he will honor your disobedience because you came back to him in true repentance. Or maybe he won't. I just know for me, as I tell everybody that listens to me, from the day that he showed me that and forever until he takes me out of this world, I will not willfully disobey him. I will not willfully sin. I won't knowingly do something I know is wrong. Because I know what it means. And now you know what it means. Romans chapter 8. The book of Romans chapter 8. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, or Yeshua HaMashiach, has made me free from the law of sin and death. When we come to Messiah and we say we are a sinner, we say we'll believe in him as the Son of Elohim and that he is our Redeemer, he is our Savior. We get baptized into him. We are buried with him in baptism. You are made free from the law of sin and death at that point until you bring yourself back up under the law of sin and death through sin. He didn't tell the woman that they brought to him that they accused of adultery. She was guilty. They didn't do everything that the law required. They're supposed to bring her and the man. They brought just her. And Messiah says, okay, you're not going to follow the law. Then there's a loophole in the law. The loophole in the law says if you want to put her to death, it's got to be two or three witnesses to put her to death. So me as the creator of the law, let you who is without sin cast the first stone. Let me see how many of you still be here. None of them were without sin. Wasn't that she was innocent, but the law required two or three witnesses. And he looks at her and says, now where are your accusers? There's not two or three witnesses here. And the law says one person alone can accuse you. So I don't accuse you. I know you're guilty. But my own law says that one person cannot accuse you. So I accuse you not. Now go and sin no more. Not go and don't get caught again. Go and sin no more. Don't do what you've been doing. It applies to all of us. Or else we lose this feast day. We lose the benefits of this feast, the Passover, and Messiah being our Passover. We again put ourselves in bondage to sin and death. The Feast of Unleavened pointed to Messiah's sinless life. We talked about the unleavened and it representing sin, making him the perfect sacrifice for our sins. So the Most High said, this is the Passover. In the first day, we're going to celebrate me passing over your sins. You are in Messiah. You believed on him as your Savior. I'm going to pass over you. You are up under his blood unless you run out in the street. Sin again, unless you come from under the blood and go back into your sin. And in this case, willful sin. You know what you're doing. You choose to do it. You chose to do wrong, but now you still want the benefits of Messiah's death. He said it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. So you put yourself back under the law of sin and death when we willfully sin. But when we came to him, he removed us and he made us free from that law. All your charges are dropped. Every crime you did, I wiped it out. I paid for it. Now go and sin no more. Keep the Passover with understanding. Because trust me, had the destroyer caught you outside and you were the firstborn, If he caught you outside, period, I believe if you weren't the firstborn, he would have killed you. But he came to kill the firstborn. But if you had been or disobedient, he might have still killed you because you were being in transgression. You're supposed to be inside up under the blood. The same way with Mashiach. Okay? So the Feast of Unleavened represents Messiah, his sinless life, that he was a perfect sacrifice for our sins. Yeshua's body was in the grave during the first days of this feast, like a kernel of wheat planted and waiting to burst forth as the bread of life. I am the manna that was sent down from heaven. I am the bread of life. See, all those titles, you want to know who Mashiach is? Look at every title that the Most High gives to him, assigns to him, calls him by. Then you can know who he is. You can know the works that he's done. They speak of him. Feast of First Fruits. Let's go back to Leviticus. Chapter 23. Verse 10. Well, where will we stop at? We stopped at 6. We're going to read through 10. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That represents Messiah's sinless life. Unto Yah, 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. And in the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yah 7 days. In the seventh day is a holy convocation, and you shall do no servile work therein. So first day and the seventh day are holy. And if we're going to keep the commandments of the Most High, then we need to arrange with the job. We don't work these days. You need to tell them ahead of time. Need not be ashamed of it. The law requires that they honor you. If at all possible, they honor you. Because it's a religious holiday. For you. May not be for them, but for you it is. So you've got to know the laws of the land. And in this land, the United States, Title VII of the Civil Rights Act says that they have to honor it if you bring it to their attention. Okay. Verse 9. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you come into the land which I give unto you, and you reap the harvest thereof, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before Yah. Messiah was lifted up on the cross. Okay. And then he was offered up. And then he came out of the tomb at the end of the Sabbath as the first fruit to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath of the priest shall wave it. On tomorrow after the weekly Sabbath, the first day of the week, Sunday. What the world celebrates as Easter is the Feast of the First Fruits, the heave offering. Messiah was the first fruits from the grave. That holiday is not to celebrate his crucifixion. It's to celebrate his what? Resurrection. And that he's the first fruits from the dead. But the Most High gave it back to us as a feast day to keep in Torah, Feast of the First Fruits, the first day after the Sabbath of the Passover, the weekly Sabbath of the Passover. So you have Passover and then you got the weekly Sabbath. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. It will always be on a Sunday, just like they have Easter always on a Sunday. The Passover is on Friday night to Saturday night. The first day of the week, the first day after the Passover, of the weekly Passover, the weekly Sabbath. Let me start over. The first day of the week after the Passover, the weekly Sabbath, the first day after that is the heave offering, is the Feast of the First Fruits. It's always going to be on Sunday. Okay? Let's go to 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. And let's get verse 20. Actually, I want to actually start in verse 15. Let's start in verse 13. Start in verse 13. Because we have to believe, number one, that Mashiach was resurrected. This is the promise that we're going to be resurrected. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. Then is Mashiach not risen. And if Mashiach or Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain. Everything I'm teaching you is for nothing. If this never happened, everything that we're learning is for what? It's in vain. It's for nothing. And your faith is also in vain if it's not true. So if you believe it, then you ought to walk in it. You ought to obey. You ought to cherish it. Because if not, you believe in nothing. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of Elohim if this ain't true. If this ain't true, everything that I'm telling you, I'm a false witness of Elohim. Because we have testified of Elohim that he raised up Christ or Mashiach, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised, then is not Mashiach raised. And if Christ be not raised, then your faith is in vain. You are yet in your sins, and the judgments of the Most High are still on you. Never got from under that sin. This is what he's saying. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ, in Yeshua, are perished. They're gone. When they get resurrected, they're going to where? The lake. Because Mashiach never saved them. He never offered them, made a way for them to be saved. If in this life only we have hope in Mashiach, in Christ, we are all men most miserable. If this ain't true, then you are a miserable person. And you believe in something that is not true, in vain. But we know that it is true. That is our hope. That is our understanding. Verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. He is the first fruits. When you go into the land, on the first day after the Passover Sabbath, the weekly Passover Sabbath, not Passover itself, because Passover is a Sabbath within itself, and in that same week you will have a weekly Sabbath. The day after that is the heave offering or the Feast of the First Fruits, or what they would call today Easter Sunday. We call it the Feast of the First Fruits. And we celebrate that Messiah is the first fruits of them that slept. He got up and stayed up. Even Lazarus had to go back to the grave. Even the dead man that was thrown in on the bones of Elijah had to go back to the grave. They eventually died again. But when we are resurrected and we receive our body, our eternal body, our spiritual body, we won't die again. And we will be like him. So we celebrate that he's the first fruit. The Most High said, you will do this on this day. And it's the same day that Messiah came out of the tomb. He came out at the end of the Sabbath as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. So you're going to celebrate this on the first day of the week. You're not going to celebrate it on Sabbath. Even though he came out of the tomb at the end of the Sabbath. The holiday, the feast day, the Sabbath is the first day of the week. That Sunday. And so we celebrate his resurrection. We celebrate him being the first fruits from the dead. We don't celebrate Easter because Easter is dedicated to the god Esther, the goddess of fertility, which her signs are the bunny rabbit and eggs. Bunny rabbits for their proclivity to reproduce, and eggs for fertility. That has got nothing to do with Messiah. But they wanted to celebrate them both, so they combined Easter with what? Feast of the First Fruits and called it Easter. Included the name of the Most High, his Messiah, and said this is what they're celebrating. But everything that they do in it points to the goddess Esther, the Easter egg hunt, the getting of your new dress, your new suit. They would go to the altar, the altars of Baal, and they would worship Esther, and they would have sex as part of their worship. So we're not going to the church and having sex, but we're still doing, we're going to get our Easter suit, our Easter dress, buying our kids Easter baskets with chocolate bunny rabbits in them. It's got nothing to do with Messiah. Nothing at all. So we don't do that. And we don't say we're keeping Easter. We're not celebrating the goddess Esther. We are celebrating the Feast of the First Fruits, which Messiah fulfills, has fulfilled, and we are told to celebrate it. Now, how is it that the world celebrates Easter, which is the Feast of the First Fruits, and it's tied to Messiah, but don't feel like they got to keep any other feast day of the Most High? They keep Pentecost, because those are all mentioned. These are mentioned where? Well, Feast of the First Fruits is mentioned in Torah. Pentecost is mentioned in the New Testament. So they keep Easter, Feast of the First Fruits, and Pentecost. And some other ones that they've made up, like Good Friday, Lent. Not in the scriptures, okay? Weeks of Pentecost. The Feast of Weeks or Pentecost. Let's go to Leviticus chapter, back to Leviticus chapter 23. And we're going to be getting, reading down through, where did we stop? We stopped at first fruits. Let's start at verse 12. Verse 13, actually. Those are the things that are required for the heave offering. Verse 15, let's start there. Leviticus chapter 23, starting in verse 15. And you shall count unto you from tomorrow, after the Sabbath. So after the Passover, the weekly, you're going to start counting Sabbaths, weekly Sabbaths. And you're supposed to count seven Sabbath. From the day that you brought the sheaf wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall be completed. So you have had the weekly Sabbath of the Passover. You've had the wave offering. And then starting from that, the next Sabbath, you start counting seven Sabbaths. So I said that wrong when I first said it. You have the wave offering, which is a Sunday. The following weekly Sabbath is the first Sabbath that you start counting, and you count seven Sabbaths from that. Seven Sabbaths shall be completed, even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath. So if you're counting Sabbaths, you're going to end up on a Sabbath. And then it says, on the day after, the morrow after that seventh Sabbath, which is 7 times 7 is what? 49. Plus one day, the morrow, the next day is 50. That's what Pentecost stands for, 50. So you get the 49 days, 7 weeks of seven. That brings you back to a Sabbath. And then the morrow, the day after that, that seventh Sabbath, is Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks. And you shall offer a new meat offering unto Yah. You shall bring it out of your habitation, 2 wave loaves and 2 tenth deals. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits unto Yah. Still has to do with the first fruits. Has to do when the Most High opens up the kingdom to the world. Let's go to Revelations, chapter 20, and then we're going to come back to Thessalonians. Revelations chapter 20, okay, let's get verses 4 and 5, because I want us to be clear what the church is teaching you is in error. Okay. Revelation chapter 20, let's get verses 4 and 5. And I saw the thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Yeshua and for the word of Elohim, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Mashiach, with Christ, 1,000 years. So I want you to ask yourself a question. If you can hear my voice, this doesn't apply to you yet. You have not qualified for this verse yet. Because everybody that qualifies for this voice was killed. Now, if we got some dead folks in here listening to me, and you died for the word of the Most High or for the testimony of Mashiach, this may apply to you. They lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Verse 5. But the rest, if you weren't beheaded, if you weren't killed for the word of the Most High and for the testimony of Christ, you don't really qualify for the first resurrection. When the church is teaching all believers in Mashiach are going to get up this first resurrection, it is a lie. He's still going to resurrect you, and you're still going to get eternal life, but you're not going to wake up this first resurrection unless you qualify for it. That's why in, I believe it's Romans chapter 8, he tells us that we have to be willing to suffer with him. That don't mean that we went to church and went to Sunday school and we paid our tithes and, you know, it was all good. That does not qualify us for it. That qualifies you for eternal life. That's what it qualifies you for. But he's telling us specifically in verse 4 who gets to reign with him. They die for the word of Yah and for the testimony of Mashiach. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. This is the feast of the first fruits. So I want us to understand, you got to be willing to die. You want a throne? You want to reign with Christ? You want to make it into the first resurrection? You want to be part of the feast of the first fruits? You have to be willing to die for the word of Yah and for the testimony of Christ. You have to have done it. The only time that this particular verse comes true in mass is during the tribulation. It's during the tribulation when the Antichrist is going to come against the people of the Most High. And if you say you believe in him, then you can't take the mark of the beast. Or you disqualify yourself for the kingdom, period. But if you die, then you qualify for this verse. You will have been beheaded for the word of Yah and for the testimony of Mashiach. All of his apostles died for this. See, we think the bar is low. And we just qualify to be the bride. No, we qualify for eternal life. And I show people in Matthew's that you get eternal life. And you get 100-fold of whatever you gave up. But you don't get this. You don't qualify for this. Unless you suffered with him like he suffered. And he's telling you how you have to suffer. Be beheaded. Be killed for the witness of Yeshua and for the word of Elohim. Then you will qualify for the feast of the first fruits. That's going to be celebrated at this point in his fullness when he comes back. But the rest of everybody else, the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. This is the millennial kingdom. This is the fulfillment of the feast of the first fruits. The first part of it, or the second part. Because this is fulfilled in about 5 parts. The end result, when all the rest of the dead are raised down later in this chapter and put on eternal life, then the books, let's run down here real quick without getting into details, just so we understand the process and what we're celebrating. Let's actually just read this whole thing. We're coming up at the top of the hour. We will finish trumpets and the Day of Atonement this evening. Okay. I don't want to keep everybody over a long time on this morning. But it's critical that you understand the feast days and how Messiah fulfilled them and what you're looking forward to and what you have to do to qualify for certain celebrations, to be a participant in it. Okay? So we read in verse 4 that those who die for the witness of Yeshua and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ, with Mashiach, 1,000 years. If you don't qualify in verse 4, you get up in verse 5. After verse 5. Understand that. But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death has no power. The lake of fire has no power over you. You qualify for this first resurrection, you ain't got to worry about going to the lake. You've already proven yourself. You're not going to even be in that judgment. But they shall be priests of Elohim and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and he shall go out to deceive the nations. Now, they've been, understand that this 1,000 years is there up under the reign of Mashiach and all those who reign with him. And they are going to be reigning strict. If the law calls for death for you transgressing a law, they're going to enforce it right away. Right away. It's not going to be this, oh, I repent. Because he will rule the nations with a rod of iron. Strict. You have been found guilty. The penalty is death. Carry it out. Kill them before me. They don't want me to rule over them. Kill them in front of me. That's what Mashiach says. Kill them in front of me. They won't have me to rule over them. They won't obey my voice. They won't keep my commandments. And he says, all those who overcome have to rule the nations with a rod of iron with him. Can't be ruling separate from him, different from him. Got to rule the same way. I put you over 5 cities, over 10 cities, over 1 city. You must keep the judgments of the Most High. If he says the judgment for this is death, that's what the judgment is. Carry out the judgment. So let's hear and understand. You want to get up during the Feast of the First Fruits? Then you had to be willing to die for the word of Yah and for the testimony of Mashiach. Saying that Messiah is your Savior and you believe in him and you live a righteous life, because you still got to do that. You can't be a transgressor. Because if you become a transgressor, a willful transgressor again, you are subject to the white throne judgment. And you might receive mercy, or your name might be scratched out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Let's read this and have understanding, because when we understand the feast days and we understand how the Most High does things, this should make all the sense in the world to you, if it's meant for you to understand it. So Satan is loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle. Gog and Magog were the Gentile nations, if you go back to the Table of Nations. These are the sons of Gomer, the Gentile nations, the specific Gentile nations, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. So they have lived through the tribulations. They've been living on the earth for 1,000 years. Men are being born. Still dying. There's not eternal life on the earth except for those who were first resurrected. Because you had to have died and been killed for the word of the Most High and for the testimony of Christ. They lived and reigned with Christ. They have eternal life. Now everybody else who made it through the tribulation, they're repopulating the earth. They're being taught the gospel. They're being judged and ruled by Messiah. Understand this. And they're being judged and ruled by him for 1,000 years or one day. And their numbers are as the sand of the sea. And they went up upon the breadth of the earth and compassed. They got deceived by the devil. But the devil really doesn't deceive. What he does is he makes you reveal what's in your heart. What's really in you? Is it really within you to obey the statutes, laws, and the commandments of the Most High? Or is it in you to want to not to obey them, to try to find a way not to obey them? This is what he does. This is what he came to Messiah with. This is what he tempted him with. This is what he does. So he's loosed on the nations 1,000 years. And what you're going to find out is you got a number whom is as the sand of the sea. It can't be numbered. And they went up upon the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down from Elohim out of heaven and devoured them. They rebelled against Mashiach after 1,000 years. Because he was hard on them. He was strict. Because it ain't hard to keep the statutes, laws, and the commandments of the Most High if you want to do it. If it's in your heart to do it. If you've been converted. It's not a hard thing to do. It's when you don't really want to do it that is hard. And these people, they made it through the tribulation. They didn't die. They start having children, and you can read else places where it says, hey, it's going to become where a man 110 years old is going to be considered like an infant. Because they're going to start going back to long days just like they were in the beginning. Living 100 years, 200 years, 300 years, 900 years. And so if you were 100 years old, you're going to be considered like an infant, like a child. But they rebel. This is too hard. We don't really want to do this. They rebel against Messiah. And the Most High says, okay, you all had your chance. He rains down fire out of heaven and devours them. Now, there's no more need for Satan. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. This lake of fire is a special type of fire. It's not like the fire that comes out of your stove or the fire that comes out of a volcano. This is a special type of fire that was designed for the devil and his angels. To torment them. The devil can go into a volcano. The devil, because you can light every aisle on your stove and the devil and his angels stand in it, even an angel. It doesn't affect them that way. But this fire, in the lake of fire, was designed for spiritual beings, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be, what? Tormented. This fire is designed to torment them day and night forever. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, the new heavens and the new earth. And there was found no place for them. That means no dead person anywhere, no matter how they died. They're going to rise again. Okay, everybody that's ever lived that didn't get up the first resurrection. So if you didn't qualify for verse 4 or 5 at the top, you're still in Mashiach. You're going to get up here. Okay. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before Elohim. And the books were opened. What books? That's the books of your life, the book of what everybody did, the books of your works. Were you obedient? Or were you disobedient? Did you do what I told you to do? And another big book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. What you doing? Moses said, hey, Most High, if you destroy this people, scratch my name out of your book that you're writing. Moses knew about the book. The prophets know about the book. They know about the books. And he tells you that the angels are recording everything that we do. He brings out those books. And he brings out the Lamb's Book of Life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to his works. Call Horace Miles up here. Open up the books. Go to his life. What is written? Then you are found guilty or innocent. Look and see if his name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Oh, I had mercy on him. His name is in there. So now your reward is based upon your works. Oh, his name is not in there. Well, their only reward for that, don't matter what else he did, his name ain't in the Book of Life. Throw him in the lake of fire. Verse 13 again. And the dead and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to his works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. He's telling you, I'm doing away with this old system. Death and hell are empty now. There's no more death. There's no more hell, which is the grave. Actually, if you really do a study on this, the grave is hell. Ain't nobody going into hell and suffering right now. It's not the way it works. He says there's appointed one time for a man to die, and then the judgment. This is the judgment he's talking about right here. You don't die and go into hell and suffer until judgment day, until you get judged. No. It doesn't work that way. And death and hell, that old system, were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now he's getting ready to tell you. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So some people are going to get resurrected. They were in Messiah. They did what he told them to do. They obeyed his statutes, his laws, his commandments. They kept the spirit of the law. They obeyed his voice. They received salvation. They came up under the Passover, up under the Lamb. Their name is in the book of life. They enter into the kingdom. And whosoever name is not found in there, they believed in Messiah, but they were disobedient to his voice. They say they knew Elohim, but then denied him by their works. They are going to the lake. Their name is not going to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, because he said they were an abomination to him. They were reprobate. They say they know me, but they don't obey me. They say they know me, but they don't keep my commandments. They don't do what I say do. They say they know me, and then they willfully go in and sin and break the law, transgress, knowing that it's wrong. And they go ahead and do it anyway. Well, if you know me, then you know what my judgment is already. This is 99% of all Christians right here. Going to get up during this resurrection. Going to have their works reviewed. Have the book checked to see if their name is in the book. Name in the book. Then, oh, you gave up this. You gave up that. You receive 100-fold of whatever you gave up, and you receive eternal life. Enter into the kingdom. Name not in the book. Don't matter what else you did. You go into the lake. Don't care how many hungry people you fed. You were still being disobedient to the Most High. You were trying to do works to justify yourself, to make yourself feel good. But you were disobedient to the Most High. You didn't keep his commandments. Your name's not in here. It was in here, but it has been struck through. You go to the lake. This is what the church is not teaching people and giving them a false sense of security and a false sense of hope. How many people you think are going to wake up during the judgment thinking that they're entering into the kingdom? They're entering into eternal life. Everybody, good and evil, going to receive eternal life. Everybody. But if your name ain't written in the Lamb's Book of Life, if it got struck out because you were disobedient, because you denied the Most High by your works, you said, I know him, and then you didn't obey his commandments, you willfully transgressed, nowhere will you find in Scripture where he says, like I said, I'm in this boat, so I'm not pointing no finger at nobody. Because I point a finger at anybody, I got three of them pointing back at me. I know what I was taught. I know what I was doing. So this applies to me as well. And I just pray that the Most High does not impute my sin against me. That from the day that I found out what I was guilty of, I said, oh, I'm not doing that no more. Went on my face before the Most High and said, from this day forward, I will serve you with everything that I have. I will give my all to the kingdom. Don't matter. And all this other stuff don't matter. I will turn it over to you, Most High. Please, 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 please don't impute my sins against me. I was following after the doctrine of men. And you saw fit to open my eyes that I might teach others. So from this day forward, don't bring yourself from under the Passover. Don't bring yourself from under the blood of Messiah. Don't use your liberty or what you perceive as your liberty to sin, to willfully transgress. Don't do it anymore, because you cannot bring that to him and say that he's got to forgive me or else he's going against his word. If we confess our sins, he is true and just to forgive us. We know that that only applies to ignorant sin. We get one time in our life to come to him. And all of our sins up until that point, from the day we were born up until the day that we come to him, are forgiven, willful or unwillful, willful or ignorant. He says, you got one time. That's grace. That is grace. I'm extending this scepter to you one time. And I'm forgiving all your sins one time. All of them. Your slate is clean. Don't turn around and go back into sin, willful sin. I understand you don't know everything that I require. I will send you someplace and have it taught to you. And as you learn, you confess that, most I didn't know this. So now I will do it, or I won't do it. And he says he is true and just to forgive you. But what you know is wrong and you choose to do it, he says there is no blood for that. And you just might have taken your name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. And he just might impute your sins against you. You get up here to this judgment. Oh yeah, you knew it was wrong to do that. And you never really truly repented. You never truly even said, I'm sorry to Messiah for taking advantage of your blood, of taking advantage for what you did, for not honoring you and going to the cross or to the tree and dying for my sin. Go to Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll call it a day for today. We will finish up with trumpets and the Day of Atonement on this evening, okay? We'll finish up the Feast of Weeks as well. But I want us to make sure, because this is all about getting into the kingdom and staying in the kingdom. This is not to teach you, try to make you happy, preach you happy. This is to teach you the truth of Elohim's word, that we worship him in spirit and in truth. Hebrews chapter 10. As I said, the Most High had to show me this was my situation. And I know for a fact what I was studying the word, and I was in the word, and I was in the church. And I know what the church taught. And I know what people were doing. I was doing it too. So like I said, I don't want anybody to ever say, you think you're holier than thou. Because I am in fear for my salvation. I'm in fear for my eternal life, not being in the lake. And I pray with everything that is in me that the Most High imputes not my sin against me, but that he has mercy. Because the day that I found out, I repented. I turned away from it. Okay? Let's start in verse 23. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. I'm going to give you eternal life. I wiped out your record. I died for your sin. I want you to be part of the Feast of the First Fruits. I want you to, the Passover to apply to you. You got to be willing to suffer with me. You want the throne? You want to rule with me 1,000 years? You got to be willing to suffer with me like I suffered. If you can suffer with me and give up your life for me, not just turn off the world, but I'm talking about literally give up your life for me. And you're not subject to the second death. You're not subject to the great white throne judgment. You have proven yourself. You gave your all. No greater love than this, that a man laid down his life. You've proven yourself. But if you haven't gone through that, then you are subject to the second death. You're subject to the great white throne judgment and to the lake of fire. So I'm going to resurrect you. I'm going to look in the books that were written about you and what you did and didn't do. And I'll find out if you did enough to have your name stricken from my book of life. Or if your name is still there, then I'm going to reward you based upon your works. We've got to understand what's going on. Okay? Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. I tell you this out of love. I don't tell you this to condemn you. I tell you these things because the Most High showed them to me. And show me how the verses apply. The road to heaven, into the kingdom, is long and narrow. The road to the lake of fire is short and wide. Many there do find it. Because we've been lied to. We've been mistaught. The Most High has been misrepresented. He is not a fool. and people take him as a fool. And you might say, well, I don't think of him that way. You might not directly think of him that way. But if you are doing what he says you are doing, you certainly don't have him in the right place. So let's read this. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting or encouraging one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Every day that goes by is one day closer to the day that the Most High comes back. We don't know exactly when that day is. He says we know the season. But he didn't give us the exact date. He didn't give us the year. But we know every day that goes by is closer. And we should be living our lives as though we are already in his kingdom, obeying his statutes, his laws, and his commandments, keeping his judgments as citizens of the kingdom. We want to say we're in his kingdom and then apply the laws of this world to his kingdom. It does not work. It's not the way that it is. Verse 26. For if we sin willfully, meaning you know it's wrong, not ignorantly, willfully, you know it's wrong, after you have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment. I have transgressed the laws of the Most High willfully. I knew what I was doing was wrong, and I chose to do it anyway. He says there remains no more sacrifice for that. What you got to look forward to is a certain looking for of judgment. And fiery, the lake of fire, indignation. That's what you got to look forward to, which shall devour the adversaries. Because when we sin willfully against him after we have come into the knowledge of the truth, that there remains no more sin and we become his enemy. We don't love him. He told us the same thing in Torah. Those who bow down to other images, other gods, they hate me. Those who disobey my commandments, they hate me. I have mercy on those who love me and keep my commandments. Other than that, you are his adversary. Other than that, I am his adversary. I'm not his friend. I'm not his child. I'm an adversary. I'm adversarial to him. I'm disobedient and willfully disobedient. Yeah, I'm going to do that. Then he takes you back to the law. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. That was the law. That's why Messiah couldn't kill that woman. He says, I know you're guilty, and all these men want to witness against you, but the law requires that they bring you and the man. Where's the man at? You're trying to trick me. You're trying to trip me up here, so let me just state this in such a way. Here's a loophole. You can't carry out the judgment if you're guilty of sin. So which one of you is without sin? Throw the first stone. Messiah could have thrown the first stone. He was without sin. But he says there's only one witness then. So I don't judge you because the law says I cannot. Nobody can come and charge somebody with one person, especially of a capital crime. That means mostly all sin, because all transgression of the law except for two required death. That was the penalty. That's the judgment. Death. So go and sin no more. Under the law of Moses, you die without mercy. He said, don't have mercy on them. Kill them without mercy. Don't feel sorry for them. I don't care if it was your father, your mother, your child, your friend. The Most High says if they are guilty and they are found guilty, The law required you to kill them without mercy. Put it away from you. Verse 29, of how much sorrow, how much worse punishment, suppose you, do you think, shall he be thought worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of God, the Son of Elohim, and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he, the Son of Elohim, was sanctified, set apart. I'm your Passover. The work I did for you got you out of trouble, gave you a clean slate. You thought it was an unholy thing. You treated it like it was unholy. You treated it like it was nothing. I went to the cross, got hung on a tree for your sins, that your record might be wiped out, that you could come to the Most High and start over again with a clean slate. And you willfully ran back into sin and undid what I did. And they want to say, have mercy on me? Uh-uh. How much worse punishment do you suppose you deserve? And has done despite unto the spirit of grace. I had grace. I gave you a grace period. From the day you were born and shaped in iniquity. You sinned. You were sinful. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of Elohim. I let you come to Messiah. I let you accept him as your Savior. I baptize you into him, into his body. And you willfully turn around and went back into sin? He said, what you got to look forward to is the lake of fire. That's what you got to look forward to. Fiery indignation, the lake of fire. I wrote your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I just struck it out. Verse 30. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me. This is the Most High. I will repay. I will recompense, saith Yah. And again, Yah shall judge his people. Judge you according to your works. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hand of the living Elohim. You need to fear him. You need to fear what he's going to do. The lake of fire is no joke. It ain't nothing nice. You've ever burned yourself on anything, you know how bad that feels. Now imagine that feeling all over your body and you can't die, but you can feel the pain. That's why he says, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So much pain and anguish. It's terrible. People don't want to hear about that. They don't want to be told that. A lot of people just flat out reject it. I wouldn't serve a God that would do that. Some people have the nerve to say. Okay, you can say that. Still it's not going to change anything. You're still going to go to the lake. You're still going to be in anguish. Forever. You don't go in there and burn up and it's over. Most I said, no, that would be too quick and that would be too fast. If you don't value what I've done for you, you deserve every terrible thing you get. He says, I'm not playing. I'm merciful and I'm kind, but I'm also terrible. And you need to fear me, the beginning of all wisdom. The beginning of all wisdom is the fear of him. You should know why you fear him. You should know why you have to fear him. You should know why, when you keep the Passover, what it means, what Messiah did. I was going to pass over you in judgment. I know you were a sinner, but I allowed you to clean yourself up in Messiah, and I gave you a grace period. And I forgave all of your sin, willful and unwillful, and I told you to go and sin no more. Then some man came and told you that he'll forgive you for all your sins, past, present, and future. All you got to do is confess them. Out of context. Out of context. I'll forgive your ignorant sin because you didn't know. You can confess that to me. You didn't know. Repent. Confess your sins. Turn away from them. And I am true and just to forgive you. My words are true. If you willfully sin, after you have the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for you. There remains no more blood for you. Can't bring that up under the blood. Hear the word of Yah. Hear what the Spirit saith unto us. We celebrate the Passover to celebrate what Messiah did for us. We don't celebrate it and dishonor it at the same time. He don't renew this. Is what I found is a lot of Hebrews want to take the Passover and the Day of Atonement and use it as days to say they repent for the sins that they committed the year before. That applied up under the law, up under the Messiah. He said, Your faith in me should be enough to keep you from sinning. Your faith in me and your love for me should make you want to keep my commandments. Your faith in me and your love for me, don't tell me that, oh yeah, I love you and I hear you, but I can't do what you say. He says, and you're none of mine. My sheep hear my voice and they obey. Don't tell me that you're my sheep and you're disobeying. You don't belong to me. So you see what the church has done to us? You see where we have to have a change of mentality toward the Most High? You see where we should be very much afraid for our salvation, for our eternity? Should be very much afraid. When he says, fear me, he's not telling us that for nothing. He's not saying it just to say it. Hey, I'm going to do what I told you I'm going to do. And you can take me for granted all you want to. Let me find your name not in the book of life. See what happens to you. Yeah, you knew me, but you didn't know me. You knew of me, but you didn't do what I said do. You denied me in your works. You disobeyed my commandments. You walked in your own ways. You walked according to your own understanding. Let us bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank you for your feast days. We thank you for the Passover. We thank you that Messiah was obedient unto death and that he became our Passover. And that you extended the scepter of grace toward us. And you allowed us to come back to you, Father. You made a way where there was no way. That we should come back to you and serve you in spirit and in truth. Father, look on each and every one of us. Help us to examine our lives. and where we are out of your will, Father, where we have chosen to be out of your will, allow us to repent. Allow us to turn back to you. Please don't impute our sins against us. Strike not our names from your book. Have mercy on us. But not my will, Father, be done, but your will. Help us, each and every person, to come within your will. And even if your final judgment is the lake, Father, put it within our hearts that we would serve you with everything that we are from this time forward. That we will be your obedient children. That you are the first thing in our lives. You are what matters. Your will is what matters to us. And even if you say no, we will still serve you with everything that we are. Perhaps you might repent on our salvation and rewrite our names into the Lamb's Book of Life. If there be anybody listening that is new to the Word of the Most High, has never heard the message of the gospel, repent. Turn from your wicked ways. Accept the Most High's gift of salvation. Be baptized in his name. Ask him for the gift of the Holy Ghost, the Ruach HaKodesh. And turn not back into the world, but vow a vow that you will keep his statutes, his laws, his commandments, and his judgments. You will obey his commandments till the day you die. It is not an option. Enter into the kingdom in spirit and in truth. Don't put your hand to the plow, knowing that you have a field, a work to do ahead of you, and look behind you, what you left. Because whatever you left doesn't compare to what you're getting. And this is where I believe most of us have fallen most far, that we really didn't understand what we were getting. And we really didn't understand what we were giving up. Have mercy on us, Father. Have mercy. We will finish up the Feast of Weeks and what it means, Pentecost, the Feast of Trumpets and what it means and what it announces, and the Day of Atonement. And I may even throw in the new moon so that we have an understanding that we are commanded to keep it. It's a commandment. It's not a suggestion. We say we belong to him, then we have to obey his voice. Doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. What matters is that we save ourselves. Brother Miles doesn't have a heaven or a hell to put anybody into, not even myself. I'm at the mercy of the Most High. Save yourself. The Most High only wants you to come one way. That's with your whole heart. Don't come and think you can give him 90% or 95% or 99%. He says, you're whole, 100%. That's what he wants. He doesn't have to settle for less, and he won't. He doesn't have to. Understand that. He is God Almighty. He is Elohim Almighty. He don't have to settle for second or third or fourth or fifth best. So run this race as though you're trying to come in first place. Not as though that you're just trying to finish the race as the church tells you. You need to run it like you're trying to come in first place. Because that's what he wants. May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. I would not be telling you the things that I'm telling you, because I know they're not popular. Not looking for numbers. I'm looking for those who will, who listen to the, who hear the voice of the Most High and are convicted to do what it is that he says to do. And we'll obey his voice. From the time that we hear it, we don't harden our hearts, but we come to him. We know that it's us. And we repent. And we turn ourselves over to him 100%. That's who this ministry is after. This is who the Most High is after. So I tell you these things in love, and I know everybody cannot hear it, and everybody will not receive it. I'm not Messiah. I'm the messenger. Shalom, family. Have a blessed rest of your day. Enjoy your Shabbat. See those this evening who are coming back for part two of this lesson. Shalom.
You, there's no me.